Radio Prague News.
The Lower House of Parliament has voted in favour of the government's pension reform, which will establish a private pension savings scheme. MPs have also supported several health reform bills, which will radically change the system of healthcare. And former Czech President Václav Havel remains in poor health. After hours of debate, the Lower House of Parliament on Wednesday voted in favour of the government's pension reform. If eventually approved by both houses of the Czech Parliament and signed into law by the President, the reform will allow people to pay part of their contributions to private pension funds. When reaching the age of 35, people will be able to transfer 2% of their state-run pension accounts to private funds, provided they add another 2% from their own pockets. However, it will still be possible to rely entirely on the state-controlled pay-as-you-go system. The respective bills will now be debated in the lower house's committees. The final vote is expected to take place in September. In the latest news, Czech MPs supported on Wednesday a package of health reform bills which will radically change the system of healthcare. The planned overhaul includes the introduction of standard and above-standard care for patients, higher fees for hospital stays, and changes to the network of healthcare providers, insurers, and emergency aid services. The changes are to be introduced gradually in a phased-out process. The bill will go to the respective committees of the lower house before a final vote on the reform package takes place in autumn. The government's healthcare and pension reform plans have come under severe criticism from the opposition Social Democrats. Party chairman Bohuslav Sobotka said the health reform was unacceptable, as it would establish a two-tier system which would result in the socially weaker groups of the population getting cheaper, less suitable and less effective treatment. The party therefore plans to file a complaint against the reform at the Constitutional Court. Speaking on the pension reform, Mr. Sobotka said it would only bring benefits to people who earn nearly double the average salary. Former Czech President Václav Havel, who is 74, remains in poor health, his wife told the news website aha.cz on Wednesday. Mr. Havel, who was hospitalized in March with a respiratory infection and recently underwent treatment in a medical spa, has not been able to leave the house. In his Prague home, Václav Havel is attended by doctors and nuns. Ms. Havlová said the former head of state has also been unable to sleep. An assistant to Mr. Havel said, however, his health had slightly improved over the past week, and he was now planning a trip to his beloved country house, Hradeček. The Czech-based, German-owned car manufacturer Škoda Auto posted on Wednesday record sales in the first half of this year. The carmaker sold nearly 455,000 vehicles between January and July, which amounts to an annual increase of over 20%. Around one-fourth of the vehicles were sold at the firm's largest market in China, but Škoda board member Jürgen Stackmann said the company showed strong performance in all areas and regions. In the Czech Republic, Škoda sold just over 26,000 cars in the first 6 months of 2011, some 10% less than in the same period last year, achieving a 30% share of the market. Czech painter Zdeněk Sýkora died on Tuesday at the age of 91, the Czech news agency ČTK reported. Mr. Sýkora, who pioneered the use of computers in art, was influenced by surrealism and cubism. In the 1960s, he started painting abstract compositions based on geometric shapes and their relations. In the middle of the decade, he also began using computers in his work. His paintings are featured in a number of international galleries, including Centre Pompidou in Paris, the Stiftung Ludwig in Vienna, and Neues Museum in Nuremberg, Germany. Last year, Prague City Gallery held a major retrospective of Zdeněk Sýkora's work, and in 2003 he was awarded the French Order des Arts et des Lettres. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days will be hot and mostly overcast with rain showers and occasional storms. Daytime highs will range between 29 and 33 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Danielle Azarová. Coming up in today's show, the lower house is debating the government's far-reaching health reform plans. We'll look at what's in store for Czechs health-wise. We'll have a report on the Bohemia Jazz Festival currently underway and take you to the Becher Villa in Karlovy Vary. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The Lower House of Parliament is now in the process of debating the government's comprehensive health reform. No criticism has been spared on this round of bills, which covers standard, special and emergency medical services, and more modifications to it are sure to come. Even so, a more definitive picture of healthcare reform is now taking shape. Christian Falvey looks at what it entails.
Protesters were out in force again in Prague on Tuesday, turning to bloody theatrical demonstrations of life under healthcare reform to make their points on the first day of debate on the issue in Parliament. What the Chamber of Deputies tabled on Tuesday was three sets of bills aimed at redefining the provision of healthcare services and the role of the state, the facilities, and the patients therein. Regarding the latter, the government makes patients the egalitarian offer of being, quote, equal partners in the healthcare process, meaning they get more rights and pay more money. Patients would, for example, have the right to be fully informed of their health condition and about the medical services provided them, and information on all medical service providers would also be available. The other part of the equal partnership means paying the cash-strapped healthcare system more for services that are considered above standard. What the standard is has yet to be decided, and the protesters and the opposition see this as a thinly baited hook that will mean reserving modern healthcare for those who can afford it. Special or specific medical services defined in the government's bill stipulates the conditions for a wide range of miscellaneous procedures that are neither standard nor above standard. This refers, among other things, to sex changes, castrations and sterilizations, and regulates preventative treatments, genetic engineering, and bans human cloning. A part of the legislation allows subsidized artificial insemination up to the age of 55 and was set upon by the opposition, while another, governing abortion, was willingly omitted from the draft bill in order to avoid controversy. The final codex in the package covers many aspects of rescue services, the most controversial of which is the awkward proposal to allow paramedics an additional 5 minutes to reach their patients. This, the ministry says, is based on a 2008 analysis showing that rescue services could reach roughly 1 million more potential patients in 20 minutes than they could in 15. Less contentious is a provision allowing paramedics to enter buildings without permission and demand the assistance of bystanders. What the health ministry calls a reflection of advances in science, healthcare, and personal rights, the opposition calls an unwarranted revolution that is being bulldozed past them. In order for the bills to be passed in timely fashion, the government employed a special meeting of the lower house only shortly after submitting the proposed bills. The Parliamentary Health Care Committee will have 40 days to discuss the bills rather than the standard 60 in the hopes of getting them passed by autumn. Nonetheless, in the era of reform, no sooner does a bill pass Parliament than a complaint is filed with the Constitutional Court against it. Regarding the first part of healthcare reform passed by the House a few weeks ago, the Social Democratic Party said Wednesday that the moment it is ratified would be the moment they would challenge it in court. Such a means of countering reforms has worked before this year already and will doubtless be used several times again.
My thanks to Christian Falvey for that report. In its sixth year, the Bohemia Jazz Festival brings world-class jazz musicians not only to Prague, but in other six cities across the country. Organised by jazz musician Rudi Linka, the festival is held outdoors at town squares and traditionally free of charge. Sarah Barufka met the organiser ahead of the second night of concerts in Prague.
Legendary jazz pianist McCoy Tyner playing Giant Steps by John Coltrane. His performance at the 6th Bohemia Jazz Festival, which kicked off in Prague on Tuesday, was the highlight of the free outdoor jazz event so far. The organizer, well-known Czech-American jazz guitarist Rudi Linka, had this to say about Mr. Tyner's performance in Prague.
McCoy Tyner is a legend, piano legend, not just piano legend, he's a jazz legend. He's a jazz institution. When he was 17, he started to play with Benny Golson, Art Farmer. When he was 19, he started to play with John Coltrane. and he was with him for 6 years and recorded the most famous albums with him. I Love Supreme, Ballads, all these CDs. So not just that he was playing here last night, but he also received from us Bohemia Jazz Award. On top that, he's an amazing musician. He's also a really, really nice person. So I was so happy to give it to him, and the concert was just fantastic.
On Wednesday, the Bohemia Jazz Festival, which last year drew some 20,000 visitors, continues with performances by world-class jazz musicians on Prague's famed and scenic Old Town Square. What can jazz enthusiasts look forward to? Rudi Linka again.
Tonight is a Norwegian evening. We never did anything like that before because, you know, it's a lot of bands coming from different countries and we always mix them up. But tonight is just bands from Norway. And we have Terje Ribdal, guitar player, Terje Ribdal, playing with Palle Mikkelborg, trumpet player. And they actually play together with Bergen Big Band. So it will be a lot of people on the stage. And before that is Inge-Marie Gundersen, who is a singer extraordinaire from Norway. We are also having the Norwegian ambassador here. So it's a Norwegian evening, and we hope that we can continue with this in the next years. So we will have one country on Old Town Square, which will be just dedicated to that.
After 2 nights in Prague, the touring festival moves on to cities and towns across the Czech Republic. Headliners at locations outside of the capital include the blues band Ondřej Konrad and Gambo, the Danilo Perez Trio, the John Schofield Jazz Quartet, and many others. Organizing this free outdoor festival and finding world-class guests year after year is not exactly easy. I asked Rudi Linka, who lives in New York City, what his motivation is for organizing a free jazz festival in the Czech Republic.
It's a lot of work. But, you know, I live in the city. I live in New York. And that city is very expensive to be in. But it's also amazing what the city is giving for free. I mean, New York Philharmonics are playing at the park, in the park, over the summer. So you can just take your wine, you can take your blanket, you go to Center Park, you sit, and you have New York Philharmonics playing for you. There's a lot of things which are for free. And I somehow, just because I'm a jazz musician, so I kind of felt like, well, I should bring that over here. You know, something which is a very good quality on these squares, which are so beautiful. And it will be matched, the beautiful of the square will be matched of the quality of the music.
The Bohemia Jazz Festival moves from Prague to Domažlice on Thursday, and from there to Plzeň, Tábor, Brno, Prachatice, and finally České Budějovice, where it wraps up on July 23rd.
Sarah Borovka with that report. And now Sarah stays with us for this week's Spotlight, in which she'll take you to the famous West Bohemian spa town of Karlovy Vary to view a very special villa.
Uphill from Karlovy Vary's famous colonnade with its lavish pastel-colored buildings, a little off the beaten track in the city's West End neighborhood, visitors to the West Bohemian spa town can find a great example of stunning early 20th century architecture, the Becher Villa. Built by Gustav Becher, a member of the famous family probably best known for founding the Becherovka distillery, the villa went through many changes in its nearly 100-year history. It is hard to imagine that the villa, now fully reconstructed, was at one point completely run down and was not accessible to the public for over 20 years. Restored to its former glory, it was reopened to the public in July 2010 and now houses an interactive gallery and several workspaces for artists. I spoke to Jan Samets, the director of both the Becher Villa and Karlovy Vary's art gallery, Galerie Umění, about who originally built the villa.
Byl to Gustav Becher, byl to člen velmi známý.
It was Gustav Becher, a member of a very well-known family in Karlovy Vary. Many members of his family were doctors, pharmacists, city councillors, and even mayors, and worked in other important professions. Gustav Becher at one point took over the well-known liquor company from his father, but in 1901 he signed it over to his stepbrothers because he got married. At the age of 64, he got married to a 24-year-old, and I think it was because she did not like living in the house where he was born, on the colonnade, that he decided to build this villa in the new mundane West End neighborhood.
West End is a villa neighborhood full of great estates that were built during the city's heyday, and the Becher Villa provides an interesting insight into the style of architecture that was popular before the First World War. To impress his young wife, Gustav Becher decided to design the house according to what was the height of fashion at the time.
I assume that he had this villa built mostly because of her. It can be described as having, in essence, a Palladian style with an atrium in the middle, the way that style of architecture was adopted in Victorian England. At the time, it was even called English House, and since it was built right before the First World War, there was some influence of the Art Nouveau style, and also, but rather as a consequence of the reconstruction, elements of Art Deco could be found here some 8 to 10 years later.
However, Gustav Becher himself died in 1921. Since then, the villa changed hands several times, and its owners were not always respectful of the building. Jan Sametz briefly sums up the history of the villa between the years 1921 and 1987.
Mr. Becher did not get to enjoy his villa for very long. He died in 1921, and his wife sold it to the Association of Chemical and Metallurgical Producers from Ústí nad Labem in the first half of the 1920s. And they used it until 1938, when this part of what was then Czechoslovakia was taken over by Nazi Germany, which installed the regional headquarters of the SS here. When we were reconstructing the villa, we even found an old SS sign, which we kept for reasons of historical documentation. And after the war, the building became the possession of the Czechoslovak state, which transformed it into a youth center.
Takový dům vlastně fungoval až do roku 1988.
The youth center Dům Pionířů a Mládeže was situated in the villa until 1987. The villa was then closed to the public for several years. In the late 1990s, the education office of Karlovy Vary, to which the building belonged at the time, decided to transform the building into a musical education school. However, the reconstruction was interrupted several times and the building site was vandalized and looted until the villa fell into complete disrepair. It wasn't until the Ministry of Schools signed it over to the region of Karlovy Vary that the villa could be saved. Gallery director Jan Sametz was approached by the region's officials regarding its renovation and reopening. I asked him how long the actual process took.
Musím říci, že paradoxně trvala víc ta přípravná fáze.
I have to say that the preparations took much longer than the actual reconstruction. We had to prepare a report about how we intended to use the space, and then we had to apply for building permits and EU funds, because a large part of the 86 million Czech crowns that it costs to renovate the villa, a substantial portion was paid for by the EU, and the rest was financed by the region of Karlovy Vary. So we started the reconstruction itself in 2009. It took 9 months to complete and was finished in early July 2010.
A stavební část skončila loni, vlastně v tuto dobu, začátkem července.
Part of the reason that the project received EU funding was the unique concept that Mr. Sametz came up with. Aside from giving the public a chance to see the beautiful villa from the inside, the reopening also brings a very modern gallery to the spa town, where visitors can not just look at art, but also interact with it.
Tak on trochu název napovídá, interaktivní galerie, že je zaměřena...
The name already tells you something. An interactive gallery is a bit different from a traditional one. Here you can see interactive exhibitions presenting works that the visitor can change or play with in some form, climb into them, etc., which today is quite fashionable. But we take the interactive concept a bit further. For example, right now we are showing a porcelain exhibit featuring local artists, and they also teach workshops and other seminars. And we then exhibit the pieces that are created by those who attend the workshops, and so within the 3 months that the exhibition is going on, it will undergo a big change and be completely different in the end.
Výstavní fáze je tak dlouhá, ten návštěvník uvidí úplně jinou výstavu než dnes.
In addition to the current exhibition of beautiful ceramics by local artists, titled Variace 3+1=Porzellan, the villa also currently has a couch designed by the late architect Jan Kaplicki on display. The ceramic oven, the art library, and the several studio spaces in the basement testify to the ambition of Mr. Samets to offer artists residencies in the future. For many residents of the spa town, however, the Becher Villa brings back childhood memories, since for decades most local children and teenagers would visit the youth center in the villa.
I just learned when we had an opening that our mayor went here for a class of first aid, so I have to say that for the majority of Karlovy Vary residents, this house is very much connected to their childhood, and a lot of them came to look at it for that reason.
But even for those who do not have this connection to the Becher Villa, this beautifully renovated building is open year-round and well worth a trip.
That edition of Spotlight was by Sarah Borufka. You're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time to brush up your Czech language skills, this time with Ruth Frankova.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a song called Gilotina by singer-songwriter Karel Plíhal. The phrase to look out for is zamilovat se bezhlavě.
No řekni, jestli nedovedeš se zamilovat bezhlavě, nářezavý gilotíně.
As the title of the song Gilotina or the Guillotine suggests, today's phrases will feature heads. The singer Karel Plíhal suggests, rather ironically, that there is no need to have a head because it causes all sorts of problems and distracts the body from work. There is no need to have a head when falling in love either, he continues, because one can easily fall in love without it, or, as we say in Czech, zamilovat se bez hlavě. Listen out for the phrase.
No řekni, jestli nedovedeš se zamilovat bez hlavě.
The phrase zamilovat se bez hlavě literally translates as falling headlessly in love. The closest English translation would be to fall head over heels or headlong in love. But the word bez hlavě is not used only in connection with falling in love. It describes reckless or absent-minded behavior. Listen once again.
Bezbytečné obavě, no řekni, jestli nedovedeš se zamilovat.
There is another Czech idiom with a similar meaning, and that is po hlavě, or head first. Vrhnout se do bazénu po hlavě, for example, means to plunge head first into the pool. Just like in English, the idiom also has a metaphorical meaning. Another rather less frequently used synonym is střemhlav.
No řekni, jestli nedovedeš se zamilovat bez hlavě.
The word head features in many Czech phrases, but if we go through all of them, you may feel as if your head is spinning, or as we say in Czech, jde mi z toho hlava kolem. In the end, you might end up having a head like a sieve, or hlava děravá. So I'll leave you with that for today. If you want to find out other head-related phrases, check our previous editions of Soundcheck at www.radio.cz. Thank you for listening and nashledanou.
A co s láskou, co to meleš, bezbytečné obavě, no řekni, jestli nedovedeš se zamilovat bez hlavě, nářezavý kilotíně v rámci zvrhlé zábavy. Oddělím ti ve vteřině tvoje tělo od hlavy. Křičíš, že to bude bolet, to jste celý vy mladí. Vždyť funguje to nejmín 100 let a nikomu to nevadí. Nikomu to nevadí.
Well, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today from Radio Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for listening and do join us again sometime soon.